To the second gospel, Mark chapter 8. The gospel according to Mark chapter 8, reading from verse 27. Mark chapter 8, reading from verse 27. This is the perfect word of God. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. But some say, Elias, and others, one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Amen. May the Lord bless the public reading of his holy word. And we will be looking especially at verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Here in the Gospel according to Mark chapter 8 verse 36, the Lord Jesus Christ confirms and teaches a most wonderful truth, that man has a soul. You have a soul. I have a soul. It is something that separates us from the animal, that we are radically different in nature, because they are simply body. But we, mankind, we have souls. We are made body and soul. In the days of creation, it tells us clearly that the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the earth. And he breathed into their nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The soul, it's hard to describe, but the Bible tells us it's immaterial. You can't see it. If you cut open the body, you will not see the soul. But it's certainly there. It is us being made in the image of God, where we can reason and think. We know right from wrong. that we have the capacity for relationship, but ultimately all these things are for God. God made man, body and soul in his image so that we would know him, we would love him, and we would serve him. And yes, man has polluted his soul with sin, which we'll come to, but nevertheless, despite the fall, man still has a soul. And that's important for you and I to think of, because we live in the Western world where the teaching of society, whether it's the university, whether it's the media, whether it's the local school, is that we live in a materialistic universe. Man is only matter. Man is only material. There is no such thing as a soul. The world will say it's your imagination. It's your airy, fairy belief. But no, my friends. The Bible is 100% true. You have a soul. This makes you precious. If an animal was to die, as sad as that may be, at the end of the day, there is no eternal consequence. It's simply a death of an animal. But man, whether it's in the womb or out of the womb, if man dies, there are eternal consequences. And as you are made in the image of God, you are of more value than a lion or an elephant or a gazelle. You are precious intrinsically because you have a soul and you're made in the image of God. And this soul is immortal. It was created, therefore it's not eternal, but it is immortal, and that it will never, ever, ever cease to exist. You see, you and I may die in our bodies, but the soul lives on, and it will either go to heaven or to hell. The Bible's very clear that if you're outside of Christ, your soul goes immediately to be punished in torments. And if you die in Christ, your soul goes immediately to be with the Lord. What a comfort that is. What a comfort. But the soul is immortal. And man knows this, I think, by nature. That's why there's false religions in the world declaring another world. Death is not the end, it's only the beginning. But we distract ourselves from thinking on these things because we're too obsessed with the world. That's what Christ says here. We're looking to gain the whole world. Education, entertainment, pleasures, politics, whatever have you, our mouths, our efforts, our imaginations, our mental capacities are so obsessed with the things of the world that man completely neglects the soul. Ask your friends and family members. Ask the people of the city who are outside Christ. Tell them about the things of God. Tell them the Bible. And they do not think about it. They have no time for foolish religion because there's more fun things in the world. They don't want none of your gospel. I want to know about science and philosophy and art. That's important. That needs my time. That needs my attention. That needs my heart. And so man, obsessed with the things of this world, completely distracts him or herself from the most important thing in this life. Your soul. Your soul. Because if you neglect your soul, well, for your 90-100 years of joy and pleasure will be eternity in hell forever. So what is the most important thing for you? Your soul. Your soul. And so we're going to look at this with the words of Jesus Christ. And so that we would open our eyes, I'm asking us to behold certain things, to pay attention, to think, to use that capacity of the soul called reason. Now your reason, my friends, is polluted by sin, but I pray by the grace and the power of the Holy Ghost, you will see the truth of your predicament. And the first thing Jesus Christ draws us to is to behold man craving the world. For he says, verse 36, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? The world here is simply everything visible, everything you see in life and you desire it. The thing that gives you meaning and purpose. When you wake up in the morning, what drives you? What gets you going? What puts a smile on your face? You have physical energy and strength. What do you use that strength and energy for? What are you driving towards? You have a mental capacity to think, to learn, to grow, and to use certain things. What are you using your mind for? And what are you looking for to satisfy you? Pleasure, joy, meaning, purpose. What is the purpose of your life? What is your goal in life? What is your aim? So often, if you have a job interview nowadays, they give you various questions. They're trying to see your personality. And they will tell you to write something down. I've had it myself in job interviews. What is your goal in life? What do you desire out of life? If you were to paint a picture of your own world and where you would like to go, what does it look like? What's the chief end of your life? That's what the world means here. And Christ qualifies it with the whole life, the whole world. What is your dream? What fantasy would you like to become reality? When you drift and you think, I would love to have that job. I would like to be that person. I would like to earn this money. Imagine the very dream of your soul. And he says, this is exactly what man is striving for. And we can break this down in the words of the Apostle John, where John tells us there is a distinction, difference between that of the Father and that of the world. And it's the essence of man's sin. He says, this is what the world is, and this is how you define the world. The lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eye, and the pride of life. And what a word that word love, lust is. Craving. An insatiable desire. And that's what man is. We have lust. You don't send a child to school or educate them from the ages of 5 to 18. That's a long time to learn, to grow. Then you might go to university or college for another 4 years, 5 years, six, seven, eight, depending what programs you're doing. That's a lot of time, a lot of self-sacrifice. Well, you enter a job and you want to rise up the ranks, so you need to learn new skill sets and you need to learn new ways of working and thinking. It's a lot of time and effort. But that's what man does for the world. We lust, we crave, we labor, we think, we show effort. And Christ is saying here, behold man by nature, obsessed with the world. And the first thing we're obsessed with is the lust of the flesh. Simply anything that pleases and gratifies the flesh. The craving to do things, to feel things, to experience certain things. That drives you. My chief end, the sinner would say, is to be on the Himalayas, to climb Mount Everest. That's my goal. That's what I strive for. And I will learn and I will grow and I will educate myself how to climb mountains, how to breathe in a certain atmosphere. I will spend thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars to do that. I will fly all the way to Nepal. And when I get to that country, I will spend time climbing that mountain. But see, if I met that mountain and get on that, that's my life. As the saying goes, I can die and be happy. Striving for the things of the flesh, that's your core. And the lusts of the eyes. Anything your eye sees, you want. It's one of the key sins of the Bible. It's the last commandment, covetousness. The sons of God, they saw that the daughters of men were fair. They were beautiful, and they took them. They simply looked, lusted, and took. And that's man. We don't think of the soul. We don't think of eternal things. I don't want your religion. I don't want to think too much on that. I've got more important things. Because when I see that home, I want to work. I want to labor. I want to give time, energy, and effort to get that home. This car, oh, I love this car. I read it in its magazine. I read the detail of it. I want this car. But it's going to take me years to save up. So I'm going to scratch and I'm going to work till I get that car. Well, that vacation, I would love to visit that country. Love it. But it costs thousands. I'm going to have to labor and I'm going to have to work and I have to do that. I want that phone. I want to go to that sports game. I want. But to get what you want, you have to spend time, effort, and energy getting it. And so I have no time to think of religion. I may go to church. I may read my Bible for 5 minutes. But I'd much rather be on the websites looking at that holiday destination for an hour and a half, because that's more important than prayer and Bible. And then the pride of life. Honor, respect, reputation. You want people to hold you in high regard. You want people to esteem your name. When you think of Joe Bloggs, to use a name, that's a man I want to be like. Or Jane Smith, I want to be like her. That's what you want people to think about yourself. So you might do that by you want to be the boss. You want to be a chief executive because you want that respect. I deserve that respect. But to get to the top, you have to work hard. You have to sacrifice your family. You have to work hours upon hours upon hours. You have to neglect church. You have to neglect this and neglect that because I want that chief executive position. Or I want everyone to see me as beautiful. And so my passion in life is to study fashion and the arts and clothing. And I want to be absolutely amazing. So everyone can say and look at me and compliment me every time they see me. And I will be the belle of the ball and everyone knows who I am. Whatever way, that's worldliness. Seeking, desiring your fulfillment and purpose of life with the things of this world. But there's a problem with the things of this world. It cannot satisfy. You will labor, you will strive, you will scratch, and you will claw, and you will never be satisfied. As Christians, there's certain books of the Bible called the wisdom literature because they teach wisdom. The Song of Solomon teaches wisdom about how we should neglect ourselves and we should go towards Christ in communion. The most important time and effort is to be with Christ in love and relationship. Proverbs, full of practical wisdom to live out your daily life. Sometimes it's long sections, sometimes, as we call them today, tweets, just one verse with one profound truth. And this simply says the do you want to be wise? Do you want to have knowledge? Fear God. But there's another book called Ecclesiastes. And the man Solomon, he's trying to delight himself in everything. the meaning of life, thriving, wine, education, books, wisdom, everything. And he says at the end of the day, vanity is vanity. Then he says a wonderful word that when you strive for things, you look for things, but it doesn't fulfill. He says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2, he says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. If you look for silver and you want it, you'll never be satisfied. You might gain it, you might receive it, but it will not fill the hole. You want more and more and more. Think of a drug addict. A drug addict tries drugs, usually for the first time, for a buzz, for an experience, for joy and pleasure. And usually it is wonderful. Usually they tell you the experience of it is good. Then they take it a second time, and the third, and the fourth. And it soon disappears, and they just take it out of habit and sin. That's it. It doesn't do anything for them. They don't get a kick out of it. They don't get high out of it. They simply do it. Why? Because it tells us of life. When we want, it doesn't satisfy. How many singers or actresses or actors say, all I ever wanted to do in life was to be an actor. My heart's desire since I was 2 years old was to be a singer. And what happened when they reached that? They become a million-dollar actor. They become a million-dollar recording artist. They're never satisfied. Alcoholism, loneliness, suicide, divorce. That's what's in Hollywood. Why? Because nothing in this world can satisfy. And you will spend 20, 30 years scraping and clawing and sacrificing your life, sacrificing your family for the whole world, and you'll receive nothing. Nothing. And that's exactly what Christ is saying here. To gain the whole world. What are you striving for, friends? What gets you up in the morning? You have physical strength. What are you using that physical strength for every day? You have a mind to think, to read, to listen. What are you using that mind for? If it's for the world, you're going to be desperately disappointed. Not only behold man that craves the whole world, but behold man and his worthless gain. Because Christ asks a question about your endeavors. He asks the question, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? The word profit simply means value, worth. What value is it for you to gain the whole world? Imagine you could fulfill every single dream. That job that you would like more than anything else, you could have it. That husband or wife in your imagination, you could have it. That car, that home, that vacation destination, that reputation. Imagine you could have that all. What does it profit you? What value would it be for you? Christ is asking you to compare now. If you look at an item, you analyze it, you think about it. Just talk about a cell phone. A certain phone has certain things in it. It has apps. It has calls, it has email, YouTube, and so on. And you have another phone, and generally when you go buy a cell phone, you're comparing them. What's best? What's good for my needs? And you pick a choice, I'll take this one because it's best for me. Well, Christ is saying the same thing. What's best for you? To gain the whole world or to come to Christ? Because what happens if you gain the whole world? You lose your soul. You lose your soul. This is not saying that it goes out of existence. We know that clearly in the Bible. Death is not the end. It means you lose your life spiritually. Because after death, my friends, there's judgment. And if you gain this whole world, you will neglect your soul. Whether that's with absolute atheism, whether that's religiosity when you attend church once every 2 months, or whether you're a committed church-going person and you dedicate your hour to an hour and a half every Sunday, but the 6 days a week, and actually the rest of the Lord's Day as well, your key motive and strive are for the things of this world. You will lose your soul, and you have nothing to speak of all the gains in your life. You will lose it because your soul was made by God for God. He made it for you to love, know, and be with Him. He made it for you to have communion with Him and fellowship. He made your soul so that He would see something pleasant in His eyes and He would bless you. And He would make His presence and comfort known to you. That's what happened in the garden. It was a garden of fellowship, a garden of love, a garden of blessing. That's what God made Eden for and put man in the midst of it. But ever since the fall, it is sin in your life that causes you to hate God and don't want any of Him. It is sin in your soul in total depravity that doesn't want any time with God. I don't want to spend time in prayer. I don't want to spend my time learning about theology and doctrine. I don't want to spend hours with the people of God. I have more important things, more joyful things to do. Art, politics, sports, cars, homes, vacation. That's what I want, and that's sin. And you neglect your soul. And you lose your life. Because what happens when you die? You take none of your reputation with you. You take none of your looks with you. You take none of your work with you. You won't take the house, the boat, the vacation. None of it goes with you. And what you have is simply you and God. Judgment, righteousness, law, 10 commandments. And God will say, what did you do with your soul? You can think. You can reason. You can love. You can strive and learn in these things. And what did you do with that I gave you? And everything will come. You went to school for 13 years and you could hardly come to Christ or think of Him. You went on this job course or that job course, but Bible was 2 minutes a day. You filled your life with recreation and entertainment, and you couldn't even pray to me more than 3 minutes. What profit is it for you, my friend, to gain the whole world but lose your soul? Because at the end of the day, the soul is going somewhere. If you're in Christ, despite our failures and our sins, we're going to glory. Because we have seen this and we value the soul more than this world. And there's joy, my friends. But what happens if that's not the case? Well, the Bible says, speaking of your reputation, you're worried about what people think. You might be ashamed about being a Christian. You don't want anyone to know it. Well, Christ says to you, fear not Him that is able to kill your body, but fear Him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. And don't ever think that word destroy is annihilation. The Bible clearly says this is everlasting destruction, 1 Thessalonians. Your soul goes straight to hell when you die. The torments are immediate. And when the time comes for Christ to come again and judge the world, you'll be physically raised from the dead, the soul and body coming together. And you'll be physically and spiritually tormented and punished for eternity. Do we see how foolish and vain it is to value this world and to use your efforts, your time, and your energies for the things of this world? For what? Let's just say you live a full life of 100 years. For what? For punishment? For torment? For hell? Not for 90 years. Not for 200 years. Not for 1 million years. Not for 1 billion years. But for eternity. And Christ, time and time and time again, he's saying, wake up. Wake up. In Luke chapter 12, a man comes to him and says, make my brother share the inheritance. Christ warns him, take heed. Take heed. Don't be covetous. Then he gives the parable of the rich fool. The man who's ground his farm is in such abundance. And what does he do? I will build bigger barns, he says. And the man is so satisfied with his work and his labor. He says, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Is that not man? Enjoy life. Enjoy it. Don't be too religious. Acknowledge God. Maybe once a year have Thanksgiving. Maybe once a day, you know, give grace. But all life is about pleasure and joy. What happens to this man? But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? All this work, all this labor, worth nothing. You're coming to me to be judged and go to hell. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Or elsewhere, with the parable of a great supper, there's food, there's an invitation, come and eat, a picture of righteousness and forgiveness of sins, come, come. And the invitation comes out, you don't have to do anything, all you need to do is believe in Christ, turn from your life and your sin and believe in him, there's no works, it's all done, ready for you, Christ has done it all. I can't. I've just bought a field and I need to work on it. I can't. I've just bought 2 oxen. I need to make sure they walk straight and, you know, the field's being furnished and everything's fine. I've just been married. I need to tend to my wife. I need to make sure she's happy and the home's well. Well, Christ says to us that they all who made excuse, they will not receive the kingdom of God. Or about the rich man. He was a man, fine clothing, dressed in purple. And this man fared sumptuously every day. What happened to him? What tells us? He was in hell being tormented. See how Christ is time and time and time again asking you to awaken. And value your soul more than anything in this world. And deal with your soul. And Christ is speaking to you right now, this very moment. What's more important? A lifetime of pleasures and joys in this world, striving. And the consequence is hell forever. What's more important? Well, he says in verse 37, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There are no second chances when we die. Once you've breathed the last, that's it. No second chances. But maybe your mind is going. Maybe the Spirit of God is wrestling with you right now. Don't grieve the Spirit. The Spirit can be resisted. There is irresistible grace. When God saves his elect, it's done. But you can grieve the Spirit too. Think about your life. What would you exchange? Maybe more church attendance. It's good to come to church, the Bible commands it. But you'll still end up in hell. What about a more dedicated Bible reading plan? It's good. But you'll still end up in hell. What about thinking more about spiritual things? That's good. But you'll still end up in hell. My friends, if you want to be saved and you want real life, behold the man that craves the world. Behold man's worthless gain. But behold the Son of Man, the Savior of the world. Do you want to know how much value God places on the soul of man? Would you like to know God's estimation of a soul? Well, for the soul that sinned, that broke his law, and is deserving of just punishment for eternity, he came to this world and died in the place of sinners. That's why Christ says in verse 31, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised. That's God's view and evaluation of a human soul, even if you don't value it yourself. God sent the eternal Son in human flesh to suffer and to die in the place of his people. That all this worldliness, all this rejecting God, rejecting him, and having your world as your idol. For his people, it was laid upon him and he suffered for it. That's how much he valued souls. And he died on Calvary's cross as a perfect atonement. That everything that's needed for God's justice to be satisfied and for the cleansing of every sin, thought, word, and deed, and for the full forgiveness of all your sins, it was finished and accomplished on the cross. And he offers it you now, the second, to come to him and trust in him. No works, no effort of merit, but by simply resting and embracing Christ. Trusting him. And in case we try to distort faith, oh yeah, I believe him, but my life is an absolute mess and I don't actually want to be dedicated to him. No. Faith includes loyalty. Faith includes love. Faith includes dedication. You can't confess Christ and then be a one-day Christian. That's why he says in verse 34, when he calls the people unto him, so everyone's listening with the disciples, he said, whosoever will come after me, so whoever's going to follow me and be a true disciple, let him deny himself. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't proclaim Christ and not think about him and be with him the other 6 days of the week. It's false Christianity. True Christianity is denying self for Christ. That your chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him. Your chief end is not your work. Your chief end is not your family. Your chief end is not the vacation. Your chief end is not the car or the home or the reputation. It's Christ. And if that's true for a real belief, He will be the center of everything you do. You will deny yourself. If someone accused me of something and it was wrong, I would deny it. Pastor, did you go to such and such a place on Wednesday? I would deny it. No, that's not true. That's not me. Pastor, did you say this and that and the other? You deny it. No, that's not me. Let that be said of you in your life. What do you strive for? What do you think about? What do you put energy and effort into? Is it the world? Deny, that's not me. I work, but it's to the glory of God. I am thankful for what God has given to me, and I don't do it in excess. I do it in biblical moderation. But if you really, really want to know what's the center, you want to know what I really think about, you want to really know what I talk about, you really want to know what I yearn about, it's Christ. It's Jesus Christ, because I am a sinner. I face the judgment of God, and He alone is my Savior. He alone is my righteousness and joy. I'll tell you about joy. Joy is not the pleasures of this world. The joy is Christ. Whether I'm struggling, I'm failing, or I'm suffering, you see my heart is full of joy. Or when everything is going well, I am so thankful with joy because I recognize God who's given it to me. This is Christianity. This is the truth. And I ask you, my friends, what does it profit you to gain the whole world and lose your soul? If you keep on putting the world first in your thinking, your energy, and your effort, it's the evidence of an unconverted soul. And it's the evidence that on the death, you will lose your soul in hell. But if you do think of Him, and you do value Him, and you believe in Him, and you love Him, and you confess your sins and your failings, and you believe, my friends, you have the full forgiveness of your worldliness. You have the full forgiveness of your sins. Come to Christ. Today is the day of salvation. Don't think about it. Don't contemplate for the next week. You could die today. Come to Him today. I would like to be more dedicated to Christ, but I need to do this. I need to work. I need to take care of my family. That is nowhere near important, friends. Your family and your work and your situation, whatever it is nowhere near important compared to your own soul. Come to Christ. Trust in Him. And you will have all your sins forgiven. Amen. And may the Lord bless our souls with Christ. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we are men, women, and children who are by nature blind. But we pray that Thy Holy Ghost would be sovereignly and powerfully working. And we would value our souls more than the whole world. O Lord, help us to know that our chief end is to glorify Thee and enjoy Thee. And help us to trust and embrace Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. Let us give unto the Lord our tithing and our offerings.